What if he did? What if he, like, individually, he tried to get all of us, like individually separated? And, it, like, at one point, and then, like, all three of us are, like, what if, like, the three of us are, like, hanging out, and I'm like, hey, guys, I got to tell you something, right? And you guys look at me real slow. Yo, crewies, welcome back to another Horror Movie Crew podcast. I am Josh.
Hey, y'all. Seth here.
This episode, we are talking about the movie Mother's Day from 2010. This was a listener request. One of our patrons, in fact, asked us to watch this movie. They actually said you can watch the new one or the 1980s.
Oh, I didn't know there was a 1980s.
Yeah, so this is like a loose remake of the 1980s. And I actually went back and read the Wikipedia.
It's not a tight remake. It's a loose remake.
It's a loose remake. You know, not the exact same premise. Anywho, so we have our yearly. I guess it's kind of yearly. It used to be annual until some, you know, the pandemic and some other things happened. Mm. And then we didn't do it. This is like our fourth one of these. Is it third or fourth?
Maybe fourth.
We'll say fourth.
I don't remember.
Cabin trips. Us and our friends go on a cabin trip for a weekend and hang out. Anyway, yes. You need to move that. You can probably pull that out and set it on the chair if it's like bothering you.
Maybe I should.
Well, I'll take the headphones off first. Jess is not here. She has the flu, I think, is what she said.
Yeah, or whooping cough or something. I don't know what it is.
That's from your vagina. Did you know that?
Is it?
Dude, Abby sent me this video the other day, this dog, and he was outside barking at something. It was like this little dog, like, I don't know, this big probably. And every time he barked, his butthole opened.
Oh, like two people sent me that.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Jess has right now. She can't figure out what's going
on. Vaginal cough.
It's a vaginal cough, yes, from her vagina. Yeah. Every time she coughs, though, it's the butt and the vagina.
Just burst open.
Makes a lot of noises. Anyway, so we're going on our trip, yes. So what, all right, let's play this scenario out, though, okay? So we're going on our trip.
Oh, this one. Okay.
Well, I wanted to get it on the record here, right? Because I didn't want to. We say a lot of funny shit that doesn't ever get recorded.
Other people will think it's funny, but
I don't care if they think it's funny. They might,
since they don't know the individual.
They know Claude. So we're hanging out,
and Claude,
and it's like, let's just say it's like the second day of the trip, okay? And we're grilling out or something. We're out on the deck, and
that's definitely at least twilight or like evening.
Yeah, it's got to be later in the trip, right?
Yeah, it's got to set the mood.
And I'm like, guys, I got to tell you something. And you're like, what? I'm like, man, Claude tried to kiss me. Right? And then our other friend, Petey says, he tried to kiss me too. And then you are like, I did kiss him.
It's an open mouth, minute long kiss.
But then, like, would you be upset that, like, maybe he was just trying to use all of us? And, like, what if you went full bore? You were like, yeah, we kissed and did some other stuff.
I guess I'd feel a little cheap.
Would you be like, man, he only used me? It'd be interesting to timestamp it and see who he went after first.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do it with the beard, though.
Like, what if Claude, like, went for you first and you gave him what he wanted, and he was just so enamored by the experience, he was like, I'm going to try it on these other guys.
I could see that.
I feel like I would be the last one he would try it on because I'm so vocal about things.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if he tried to kiss Petey, Petey would be like, not say anything about it.
I feel like he'd do it, but not say anything.
But I would be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? Or like, I'd be like, hey, look at this.
You'd be like in your sleep when it happened.
I feel like he would come for me when I was like,
you'd wake up with like his tongue in your mouth.
What kind of dream do you think you'd be having?
I don't know.
Like prior to, right? Because you're like, when you actually dream, you're like awake a little bit before, right? Like, but you're just like, your body's not awake. Because like, you only dream, like your dreams are very short periods, I think. And it's right before you wake up.
I think they are short, yeah.
It's like what, like, say, let's say Claude comes in, he sticks his tongue in your mouth, okay? And it triggers your brain, your wake up brain, but you start dreaming, obviously, because that's what happens, right? So you start having this dream. And again, we are not doctors or any sort of experts that know about like when you dream or dream states. This is just two ignorant hillbillies talking about their friend trying to rape them.
I assume it would turn into some kind of sex dream.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I feel like I would immediately go into like, I was petting a dog and it was like,
like it's stuck in your mouth.
You know how like a dog can get you real quick and you don't know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know when he does it, but like you're not expecting it. Like, you're like, oh yeah, puppy, puppy. And then and it goes like up.
Hate that. Yeah.
And it's like a weird lick, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like an intimate lick when a dog does it. It's like a upward, like a, like they're trying to clean your face off or something.
Yeah, trying to clean your teeth.
Do you think that is what it would be like?
Could be, or it could be like, I don't know, you're like eating ice cream or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but you're not licking. They're licking you.
True. I don't know.
You don't have anything.
I don't know what it would turn into.
It'd be, I feel like it'd be different for everybody based on your circumstances and yeah. your experiences in life, but...
Plus you have, like, you know, the roughness of the facial hair.
Oh, yeah. You're really in on the facial hair aspect of it.
That kind
of
grosses
me out. Do you, so you wouldn't date a man with a beard?
Oh, it'd be hard.
Really?
It'd have to be very well-maintained and cleaned.
Like a short beard.
Yeah.
Like a...
Like scruffiness is okay.
Not like a beard beard. You're talking just like a... I don't know, like a 3-day no shaving.
Yeah,
look,
that would be fine. Not like a, not something food can get stuck in.
Yeah, that was dude. When I had my like little beard that I had, my little beard, that was the worst part of it.
Oh yeah, I hated that when I had mine.
Because I would like see, like I would feel stuff in it, mm-hmm. like while I was eating, and then I was like, man, I'm gonna be out with people eating. I'm gonna have stuff in it and not yeah. know it.
Something about it being around the lips like grosses me out. When you see people eating with a beard, it's I don't know.
I have this really like negative view of beards. I don't know why. It's just a Josh thing. I don't even really like to talk about it, but I will because I'm, you know, whatever. I'm a whore for content. So what I see these people with these gigantic beards, right?
Yeah.
And generally, what's the common denominator between all these people that have these big bushy, burly beards?
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
They're usually not the most healthy looking people.
Oh, no. They're usually not very attractive.
Well, I don't know about attractive, but just like their bodies don't generally reflect that of a healthy individual.
Right. Or and, clean.
And I'm like, that is easily one of the laziest hobbies you can have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you do nothing. Don't yeah, you anything. Put so your oils in it and you brush it, but I'm but like...
How many of them actually do that is the question.
I don't know, but like I feel like that becomes like a part of your like persona when you have a beard like that.
Yeah.
Like that's your thing. You're like, a, you have the beard, but I'm like, man... It's not like you spent hours in the gym working on a six pack, right? Like the, no, that thing just literally grew on your face.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but it bothers me. It shouldn't. I also oh, shave with like a razor, so like maybe that's it.
Oh, see, I don't even do that anymore. I just trim it.
I used to buzz it, and then I was like, man, I don't know. Then I read that it's real, actually good to shave at least every once in a while. So then yeah. I did it, and then I was like, this is just so much nicer because you get the fucking hairs everywhere if I use the
thing. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway,
so you just associate it with laziness.
I think I do, and I shouldn't though, right? Like I don't feel like that's a good way to look at things.
You must have had some kind of experience with beards.
I don't know what it would be.
I don't know.
I don't really even know anybody that has a beard. Like my dad has like a goatee. When I was a kid, he had a big beard, but like
maybe it's some kind of childhood trauma with your dad and a beard.
I don't think that's what it is. I don't know what it is. I just associate it with laziness. I'm like, man, what a lazy thing.
I just don't like the look of it.
Yeah, I'm over here judging people by yeah. beards. Like, what a weird thing to judge somebody by.
Yeah, just not my thing. I grew that one briefly just to see if I could, and then I hated it.
It didn't look bad. I thought you looked good with a beard.
I grew pretty fast, too. But
oh, mine takes forever. That one I had. And then mine was like light brownish orange. It was like a weird color.
And splotchy.
It was splotchy, but yeah. I found that I bet patchy. A lot of people's are patchy, but like yeah. as it grows out, it covers the patches, right?
True.
Which also bothered me because I didn't want it so long. I wanted to get it shorter, and then I would buzz it and like, you know, trim yeah. it up, and then there would be patches again.
So that's
like,
got a lot of white in it, so.
Dude, my hair's getting really gray. I got it trimmed. I got it cut shorter than normal because I didn't want to go back again for yeah. so long. Because I had like these weird meetings staggered out. So I was like, gosh, if I get it cut now with the normal length, then by the time these other meetings, I'm going to get it cut again sooner than I wanted to. So I got it cut short. And it was like falling down and I could see it. And it was like mostly gray. I was like, oh my gosh.
The salt and pepper look isn't bad.
Maybe I'll be a salt and pepper guy. I feel like I'm going to be straight salt at some point.
That doesn't look bad either on some guys if it's just gray.
I don't want that. It made me feel old. I don't want to be
get
old.
Some just for men.
No, I'm not going to do that. Dude, I'm pretty sure I work with a guy that dyes his hair because his beard is completely like gray.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a beard. He shaves. But like three, if we have like a 3 or 4 day long meeting session, right? Like on like the third, because he doesn't shave them that often.
Yeah.
Like the third day, you'll see the gray coming in. It's like, ooh, it does not match the top hair there. That's real dark.
Yeah, I've got a lot more white gray in the beard than I used to.
I think you should dye your hair.
No. I dyed it red once years ago.
Why?
I don't know.
Your hair has a red tint to it now.
I thought it was cool.
You have a little bit of a red tint to your...
I do not.
I think it's a little reddy.
Ew. No?
I didn't say it was like very red. It has like a red tint.
Okay, if you say so.
I think it does, maybe. I mean, you can disagree if you want. I think it kind of does.
No, I would never diet. Diet black. I would look weird.
You'd have to go really, like, really, really, like opposite of what you have now, which is very light.
I would look weird with dark hair, I feel like.
It'd be hilarious. It'd be so obvious.
I want to see you do, like, bleach blonde.
I've never had blonde. I've had black hair. I've never had, I never went. Maybe
some frosted tips.
Never had that. I've never went light. I've always went darker.
I never did the frosted tip thing.
But my hair's pretty light brown now.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, that's fun. So, anyway. So, you over under Claude tries to kiss somebody on the trip. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like it was a 50-50 chance.
50-50?
Yeah.
Really?
Depends on the alcohol consumption.
Oh, he's going to drink a lot.
Yeah.
I bet he drinks the most out of all of us.
And you'll be the most accessible, so.
Do you think? Oh, yes, that's true, because I won't technically have a room, right? Because I screwed up the booking. Oh,
so probably don't sleep on your stomach.
I can't. I have back issues. I sleep on my back at all times.
Oh, yeah. You do?
I prefer to, yeah. Oh. What do you sleep? Side sleeper?
Side sleeper.
Mm-hmm. I usually start on my side, but I always end up, when I wake up, I'm on my back.
I sleep on my stomach sometimes, but I have to, like, lay on a pillow.
You sleep on your stomach?
Sometimes.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Yeah. If I slept on my stomach, I'd be able to move for 3 weeks.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm a side sleeper. Not like fetal position, just like on my side.
Oh, no, I'm back. It's supposed to be the best way to sleep. That's what they say. You ever think about going to the chiropractor and getting like those neck crack things? I don't know why these things have been coming up in my feed like crazy lately.
I used to go all the time for my back, and it worked, but the neck thing kind of scares me.
These are all necks. Like, they clamp the person into the table, and then they wrap a towel around their neck, and they're like,
"Whoa." I'd be really afraid to try it. Like, what if they fucked up?
I mean, that's why I don't want to go at all.
I mean, I don't know if that's ever happened, but it just...
I'm sure it has. I bet it's unlikely, but I'm certain it's had to have happened.
It just freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't want to...
Well, the back one's kind of scary enough, but...
So, is it hurt?
No. Huh. No, it's just like, it feels good afterwards, but...
Oh, really? But how long does it really last? Because, I mean, your spine's going to settle back to the way it was, right? Long. No, it doesn't.
You'd have to go, like, every couple weeks or something.
So, does it actually fix the problem, or do you have to, like, go for a long period of time?
I think you have to go for a long time.
Because they're technically, like, adjusting your spine, aren't they?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure if you did that along with, like, stretches and stuff, it would probably...
Help. I don't know. It's just something about them cracking my spine.
Well, it's weird because they like, I don't know what he was cracking, but like they put their whole body weight on you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they get you in like a position and he was like, like,
does he like make a noise?
No, but.
Oh, that'd be weird.
It's hard to like relax while they're doing it because it just feels odd.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was a lot of cracking that happened?
Just one big one.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's going for one crack?
Well, they did like they put that what do they call that? Those little electrode things they put on you.
Oh yeah, they like vibrate.
They have them. Yeah, they have a name. They do that for a while first, and then you do the.
Oh, they're trying to like loosen it up or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I just was especially the neck. That'd be like these guys are really cranking on these guys' necks.
Yeah, see, I don't like that. That'd freak me out.
Yeah, I wonder if it helps though.
Try it. Let me know.
No, I don't want to. I don't even want to go get my back done.
Should at least try that.
Stretching helps tremendously. If I just stretched every day.
A lot of it's like posture and stuff too.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have scoliosis, you know.
Oh, so you can start wearing a back brace?
No, it's just a mild case. I don't think that's necessary. I've noticed since middle school. They did do a scoliosis spinal test in middle school, you know, where your weird gym teacher looks at you.
Yeah. We had a nurse that did it, but yeah.
Well, the nurse did the females, the gym teacher did the men.
Do they still do that?
I highly doubt it. Mm. Why were they doing it at school? Like, why did we not go for regular checkups when we were kids?
I did. I don't know why they did that.
I feel like I did as well. So why wouldn't they check that at the doctor?
I don't know.
Like, my kids go to the doctor at least twice a year just for like their regular checkup.
Because we used to get our like physicals at school for sports too.
I don't remember.
Like the turn your head and cough thing.
We had to go to the doctor. You'd have to go to the doctor. I always went to urgent care and got it done because I was always last minute. We'd always forget. I'm like, shit, we got to get this physical done. So we go to urgent care and get it done.
Yeah, they did it at school then.
I only had that done one time where they actually did the turn your head and cough thing. It was for football. Every time basketball and track, which I played in soccer, they never did that.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did it at my regular doctor after that.
Your physical or the cough?
The cough thing.
The cough thing. Yeah. But it was for sports?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, right? They did it at school though, your gym teacher?
Scoliosis
and a hernia?
No. Yeah. And a prostate check.
We're noticing these things earlier on young men. Bend over.
Making sure all these things are working fine.
Bend over. It's like,
I think they brought in like a company or like an urgent care group or something to do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. not where I'm from. That's not what we did.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting. Anyway, Jess isn't here. We're doing this. I want to know who recommended this. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, because I think they said they wanted me specifically to watch it.
They did?
I thought that's what you told me.
No, I think I probably lied about that. No. You were, they wanted you, this is a, that was an Instagram person, and they wanted you to watch We, it was one that Erica, I don't have the thing in front of me from the Krubies.
Oh, we haven't watched it?
No, I haven't watched it either. It was a horror movie from last year. It was the one with the dog eating the brain scene or whatever. Jess even nominated it for something. Oh, okay. What was that called?
I don't remember.
We, it's we something. We left, we're left, we left. It's going to bother me now.
Yeah. I can't remember. I remember them talking about that scene, but I don't remember what the movie was called.
All I can think of is We Own the Night, and I know that's not it, because that's that, like, Joaquin Phoenix cop movie.
Joaquin!
What's he been up to lately, dude?
I don't know. Probably some crazy shit. Isn't he in a new movie, like Napoleon or something?
Oh, he's in Napoleon, yes. Yeah. But the new Joker movie is supposed to be coming out, and he is in that.
Old Joaquin.
Yeah, old Joaquin. He's a good guy. I'm sorry. I'm trying to look for this person's message, but I don't. For some reason, Patreon is really changing all their shit around, so it's almost impossible to like find.
Well, it had to be back in November.
I think it was Aaron P. Let me look at Aaron P's messages. Let's see what he's up to. Da da da. Nope, wasn't you, Aaron P. Sorry,
Aaron P.
Aaron P. I don't like to say their last name. It's weird.
No, that's probably best not to.
I don't know if they want me. I guess I could ask them if they want me to. Da, 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 da. Let's see. Okay, so this is Zach F. I think it was Zach F. that asked us to do this movie. I'm pretty sure. Hey there.
I had never even like heard of this. I don't remember it coming out.
Yep. Here he is right here. Zach F. Zach F. asked us to do this back in April of last year.
Oh. So a year later, we're finally...
Yeah, sorry.
To be fair, we watched it in December and tried to record like three times.
We did. We the illnesses, children's issues, yeah. All that stuff happened.
Snow, blizzard.
That's true.
Yeah.
We didn't want to do it remotely because I don't feel like it would have been as great to do it remotely.
No, they're not as fun remote.
For something like this. Yeah. So anyway, Zach F. asked us to do this. He actually requested the movie. He said you can either do the 1980s or the 2010 remake. I kind of wish after reading the synopsis for the 1980s one this morning that we had done that one instead of.
We could always watch it too.
That one. But I'm thinking maybe we should do the other one. As kind of like a, hey, sorry we didn't do your initial
one. I think
one.
We should since we did this so late.
Very quickly. We also don't really do Krubi requests anymore, to be honest.
No, but we should.
We should, but the problem is that people just weren't, like, we got everybody's requests and then we did them. And then I think people were just like, okay, they've done the movies I want them to do.
Oh.
We also do a lot of movies. So I wonder if we've already done things that people
true, want we could have.
Right?
So. Could have. I wonder if Zach F. is Zac Efron.
He's no, like that secretly, would be Zach E.
I know. Maybe he's just using F as like, you know.
Well, he didn't use F. I used F because his last name starts with an F.
Yeah, but maybe.
I know
just
you
let me
really
fantasize about this.
I know you really want his not to be Zac Efron.
I know it's funny though. I'm not really. I don't think he's really attractive anymore.
Because he's gotten older, or because of his like facial.
He's done something to his face.
I think he admitted to it, but it was like something with like...
He looks weird now.
He had like I almost said mental. We had a very long mental illness conversation last night after dinner. He had a health concern or something that he had to have.
With your face?
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
I thought it was with his mouth.
I don't know. Or was he just saying that to...
Well, I could have been. I mean, if it were me, dude, and I was like of that stature, and I've never been famous or, you know, overly wealthy... I would just be like, yeah, I didn't like the way I looked, and I decided to change it.
Yeah, like, I just feel like people look better if they just like.
Yeah, Abby was saying naturally. That Jennifer Aniston had something done, or people are saying that she now has had something done because her chin looks eerily similar to Zac Efron's.
Oh, maybe.
So I don't know, Jenny. I don't know what Jenny's up to.
I saw that. This was random, but I just saw like last night that Amy Schumer has some kind of disease, and her face is like real chubby now.
Oh, really?
I forget what it's called, yeah.
Wasn't her face always chubby?
No, but she looks kind of weird now. Like, I don't know how to explain it. You'll have to look up a picture of her.
Let's look her up now, dude. What else we got to do, right?
But some kind of, like, disease where your body produces too much of some kind of...
Let's see. Schumer revealed Cushing that she has exogenous Cushing syndrome, the more common form of the disorder. It stems from causes outside of the body, such as, what is that, glucocorticoids?
Glucocorticoids.
Yeah, you did it way better than I did. A class of medicines that are used to treat many conditions, including inflammatory disease, skin rashes, or back or joint pain. Huh.
Yeah, I guess people were saying shit on like social media about how she looked, and she said, "Well, I have this problem."
Well, I mean, plus she's getting older. I mean,
yeah, but see, like there in that top right.
Oh shit! Sorry. This one.
Yeah, like that's not normal chubby face. That's looks different.
Like she's got some health stuff going on.
Yeah, but I never heard of that. There's always these things coming out like I've never heard of.
Yeah, but like even to compare like this picture of her, which is probably her in her 20s, to this bit, where she's got to be 40, right, Amy Schumer?
Oh, she's older than me, so yeah.
Yeah, so like you can't like to compare these two. Yeah, of course she's gonna look different. Compare anybody in their 20s to their 40s, right. Like that's not a fair comparison. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think she's. Plus, she's been pretty open about how she's.
Yeah, it just sucks that people like. I hate social media sometimes.
Oh, me too. I would love to get rid of it. I tried to find a way the other day to where I could still answer my personal Instagram messages without actually having to get on the app, and I can only do it through the you have to have a business account because you can use Meta Business, so I would be able to answer all my messages from one app, which doesn't show you any like feeds.
Yeah,
but I can't. A lot of the stuff I do for the podcast on my personal one, just because that's easier. Yeah.
I just feel like it's made people mean and not caring anymore.
People have always been mean. It's just it gave people like the ability to like say shit they
do it without consequences.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just it's annoying.
Yeah, it sucks, but what are you gonna do? I'd love to get rid of it. And this whole AI shit scares the fuck out of me. Like, I'd love to get rid of social media and AI altogether.
I gotta get that under control.
I don't know how.
I don't either.
I don't know how. It's going to progressively become more intelligent. It's like making itself smarter.
It's just weird. It feels like all of a sudden it was here.
Yeah.
There like wasn't quick. Like a build up. It was like, oh, AI is all of a sudden a problem.
Well, and like the I think they're on the fourth or fifth iteration of it now. Or maybe it's the third. I don't know. But like it's already like leaps and bounds better than like the first.
Yeah.
And it's like continually is getting better. And it's like getting like programming itself to be better. It's pretty crazy. It's scary. It scares me a lot.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Who knows what
I'm afraid doing. It's going to get to the point where like videos of people are going to come out and you're like, well, is it real or isn't it?
You know? Yeah. Like you see that one of Will Smith the other day, he posted it. It was like the first.
Was he like eating spaghetti or something?
Yeah. It like showed you like the first generation of AI of him doing that. And then like the new one, and like, it still doesn't look perfect, but like they're getting there.
Yeah.
So, but think about like any industry, like movies, is everything going to be, okay, so are we going to have humans writing scripts anymore? It's all going to be AI generated.
I think that's what that strike was about mostly.
Yeah, but like in books, are like all of our books now going to be, because you can't tell me they're not going to be able to program these computers to write better books than a human could write.
I don't know if they can yet, maybe.
I think it's definitely coming. I wish they would like ban it all everywhere, but like the thing is, if we ban it here and then somebody else doesn't ban it, and then we're just gonna get behind, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know the answer.
I mean, it has its uses. Like I've seen it used in like a business setting where, like, you know, write a job description for this and it'll spit one out, like that kind of stuff. It's nice for, but
yeah,
I don't know either. Scary.
It is scary.
Yeah,
but
what hopefully we'll be dead by the time it gets too out of control.
Well, maybe. I don't know. It's as fast as it is gaining traction and growing, I don't know that we will be. But
I mean, you also have to think like the computers have to be able to keep up with it. So unless they
shut them down, let's shut down.
Get better, yeah.
Let's shut them all down, Seth.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, our movie is Mother's Day from 2010. Again, Zac Efron, I'm positive he is the one that, not Zac Efron, suggested this movie. I had never seen it. Had you seen it before?
No, I'd never even heard of this.
Never.
No.
Which
is odd because it has a lot of people from that era in it.
It does. And I lied. I had actually seen this because I didn't remember it until I watched it. I was watching it and Abby was like, haven't we seen this before? And I was like, I think we have.
I'm surprised I haven't, but no.
I think we rented it from the Red Box. It came out
the Red Box.
From the Red Box. It came out in 2010. The director is Darren Lynn Bosman. He is famous mostly for Saw movies. I think he did like Saw 2 through 4 or something. Let me look. I pulled him up here on IMDb.
I mean, that tracks with some of the gruesome kills in this.
It was a little more gruesome than I thought it was going to be. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, he directed, I'm pretty sure it was like Saw 2 through 4 maybe. And then I think he did the new one. Let's look. Okay. Like
Saw 2 through 5.
Is that how I sound?
No.
Oh, Saw 2 in 2005. He did a music video for Mudvayne. Saw 3. He did Repo, the Genetic Opera, which I believe is a horror opera. I've never seen it. It's like a play of some sort.
Fine.
Saw 4. And then Mother's Day in 2010. And then I don't really recognize anything up until Spiral in 2021. That was it. He did the cello in 2023.
Oh, the cello, yeah.
Did you watch the cello?
No.
Oh, we sound like you knew what it was.
Is it about like a cello that kills people?
I doubt it. Let's see.
What is it similar to Rubber?
I'm telling you, I'm not watching Rubber. I know you really want to watch it. The cello, let's see. It is, no, it looks like... An inspiring cellist learns the cost of his cello is a lot more insidious.
See, it than is he a thought. Horror movie oh, about a cello.
You got to be joking.
No, I kind of want to watch that.
I mean, it's not playing anywhere that we can stream it.
Hmm.
Turkey Alishka wrote the cello. Dude, I have never heard of the cello.
Did it say Tobin Bell was in it? Yeah.
Really?
There he is.
He's Vincent. All right, dude, I'll watch the cello. Let's write that down so I don't forget. The cello.
Is it dude. Out?
It came out 2023, so that was last okay. year. So I, mean,
I keep thinking it. We're still.
It in got a 6.2 out of 10.
Oh, it's a foreign film.
Oh, bummer.
Doesn't mean it's bad.
No, but I dude, unless the I don't want to read subtitles. If there's overdubs, I'll watch it. But I'm not doing subtitles.
The overdubs I struggle with.
You'd rather just read the subtitles the whole time.
Sometimes.
Really.
It depends.
I don't want to do that. So yeah, Darren Lynn Bozeman is the director. This movie stars Rebecca De Mornay, who is Mother. Did you recognize her from anything?
Yeah, I know. I've seen her and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember her from anything. She looked familiar, but nothing right off the top of my head. Jamie King played Beth, and I believe Beth is our main character, correct?
Yes.
And she was, did you like her?
Yeah, she was fine.
You liked her in this.
I see another picture of her.
Yeah, that's her look at her. She's looking all crazy with her ponytail here, pigtails. Oh, she's in My Blood. She's in Sin City. She's in a lot of movies. White Chicks. You love White Chicks.
I do like that movie. Can you imagine if they released that today?
No. No. She was in Lights Out. Oh, that's a new movie called Lights Out. I don't know. I just didn't like her. She had a face or something that I just like couldn't. Like I was like, I don't know if I trust this woman. Something's weird about her. Which we find out later, maybe she's not trustworthy. But... I don't know, I just didn't like the character.
No, she was fine, I guess.
There were a few characters in this I just didn't like at all.
I didn't like the one brother.
Which one? Ike?
I think the one that was like really like high energy, like annoying.
Oh, yeah, that was Patrick John Pfluger. He played Ike.
Yeah, he was annoying.
I think Adley is the main guy, which is played by Warren Cole here. He was like the older brother that was like supposed to be... or no, that was... Adley was the bad guy, right? Yeah, Adley is the bad. He was the one that like I got rapey vibes from.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, remember he was like, I don't know, I thought the whole time he was about to rape somebody. So Ike was the older brother. He was the one that, and again, there were certain times, so I guess maybe they did do a good job, because there were certain times in the movie where I was like, okay, this Ike guy's end up going to be, he's going to be like a good guy.
Yeah.
But I guess probably not so much if you've seen this movie.
Oh, Sean was in that ski movie.
Yeah, so Sean Ashmore plays George. He is the doctor, I believe. Or
the doctor.
Some of these characters were like unbelievable in their roles, if I'm being honest.
What bothered me is that they do not seem like these people would all be friends.
It was a really weird
really
casting.
Odd group of people.
It really was. And a lot of them seemed like they didn't like each other, which maybe that was the point.
And like Sean Ashmore didn't seem like old enough to be a doctor. I think
I agree with that.
It. Yeah.
It was almost like they didn't really put any thought into what they're... It was like, hey, these are the people we want in this movie, and then they didn't like put any thought into, okay, does it make sense for that person to be...
Right.
That right. Deborah Ann Woll, she is played Lydia. That was one of the sisters. I like her. I know her from Daredevil. She was awesome in those when Netflix had the Daredevil
shows. Was she
shows.
Like the younger sister?
Yes.
That was like, had to wear the dress and had the skin condition she didn't really have?
Yes, okay. Her. Her, yeah. And then Frank Grillo is Daniel, our main character, who I like Frank Grillo, but like he's another guy that you never know if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Right.
And then there's a plethora of other people in this I don't think we really need to go into. They were just kind of B characters they put in the movie to either be killed.
I wasn't really
or...
a big fan of Trishawn.
Trishawn? Oh, is that the guy that owned the dry cleaner?
I think I can't remember who did what, but
yeah.
Him and Gina were a couple.
Yeah, this was a very weird group of people, but yeah. Anyway, Mother's Day, the sadistic members of a villainous family return to their childhood home to terrorize the new homeowners and their guests.
I mean, the acting wasn't bad.
It wasn't terrible
for a horror movie. It wasn't.
No, like I said, I had seen this before, and forgot that I'd seen it, but
it's definitely a very like mid-2000s horror movie.
Yeah. So again, it is a remake. So Mother's Day is a 2010 American psychological horror film directed by Darren Lynn Bozeman. It is a loose remake. That's where I got that from. I didn't even think I came up with that.
Loose.
Of Charles Kaufman's Mother's Day, and was written by Scott Melam and produced by Brett Ratner. Don't know him. The film is about three brothers who fail to rob a bank, then run to their mother so she can help them get away. The brothers discover that their mother has lost her house in a foreclosure. The brothers hold the new owners and their guests hostage. When their mother arrives, she takes control of the situation. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, now I remember why they're back.
Now you remember.
Because of the money.
The money, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, all right, let's jump into the scene by scene here. So an unknown woman enters a maternity ward and with help of an accomplice steals a newborn baby. Terry, I don't know why we need Terry's name, one of the guards, catches them in the act, ends up being stabbed to death. Beth Sohappy is having a birthday party for her husband, Daniel Sohappy. With the help of their friends, married couple Trey Sean and Gina, Dave Lowe and his fiance, Annette Langston, George Barnum and his girlfriend, Melissa McGuire, and Daniel's co-worker and friend, Julie Ross. Julie, she's a little sketch. The news reports a tornado is heading their way. Daniel assures his guests that the basement is tornado proof. So right out of the gate, we meet all these characters, and I was with you. I was like, man, something feels weird about these characters, because
I think it was just the chemistry was off.
It was weird.
It felt very forced.
Felt a little forced. And I was with you. I was like, man, because you have the disconnect between the husband and the wife, which is Frank Grillo's character, Daniel, and then the wife, what's her name? Beth. So there's definitely something weird going on with those two.
Yeah.
And then it just seemed like these people would not have been. They had like the weird neighbor that was kind of a pervert. They had like the young girlfriend. And then the two that were married, and he was like a biz. But something was weird.
It seemed like they couldn't decide if they, like when they made the movie, are they supposed to be like party college kids? Are these like young professionals? It was like it was stuck in between the two.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Because it is. The vibe you get is like they're a young, and maybe they cast too old of actors for this. Maybe that's it, because we find out that Beth had lost her baby.
Yeah.
Does it say how old he is? I wonder how, if they say how old he is, because it's a birthday party for.
I don't think they ever say.
It'd be interesting to know, because I think I agree. I think this was probably written to be like young people like getting into their careers, and then they cast it as like older, because I feel like the couple that owned the dry cleaner, and then the one guy who had been divorced and brought this young girlfriend over, like these people were like all older people. And then Sean Ashmore's character is supposed to be a doctor. So how does that put him? Like probably mid to late 30s?
Yeah, but he looks like he's like 25.
Yeah, I think it was just bad casting.
Maybe it was. It's like I couldn't figure out like what they were supposed to be. Were they like childhood friends? Were they like, you know, it's just something didn't work about it.
And that's the other thing. I don't know if it ever told us.
No, I don't think it did.
But they're having a party. They're having a blast down there. They're getting a little drunk, a little tipsy. The basement's kind of cool. They got it all decked out. They got like surround sound speakers and stereos. They're playing pool, drinking a lot. But there's definitely a disconnect between Beth and Daniel, which you get right out of the gate. So then we see that after a bank robbery gone wrong, three brothers, eldest and leader Ike, irrational and irresponsible Adley, and Johnny, who has been badly injured, are on the run from the law. They reach their mother's house only to find it unrecognizable. Daniel and Beth, hearing noises upstairs, leave the basement party only to find the brothers holding them hostage within their home at gunpoint. Terrified, Beth offers the brothers to help the help of George, a doctor, who begins to tend to Johnny's injuries. Adley forces Beth and Daniel downstairs, trapping all the partygoers in the basement at gunpoint. Ike calls his sister Lydia, who informs him that she and their mother lost the house and will be on their way to help the boys soon. So the guys, Ike, Atlee, and Johnny, are on. They did a bank robbery, but they said their friend turned on them. Remember that? Because they had been doing this for a while, I think.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to be sending money home to their mother and their sister, but this other guy turned on them, and that's how they got caught. And then Johnny got shot.
Yeah.
So that's why they tried to come home. So I'm wondering, do you think there was like that the bros were trying to get away from the mom?
I think so. But I mean, they're so dependent on her. I don't know.
Because it's almost like Ike, the older brother, is like the leader of the group now. And they like saw that the mom was insane, which we find out later how crazy this mom really is. Like making up mental disorders and making up skin diseases to keep these kids close to her so she never loses them.
Yeah.
Do you think that Atlee and Johnny, the younger brothers, knew that Ike was sending some of the money back to them? Because it was almost like they didn't even...
I don't think they knew. I don't know.
And why would you just continually send money to an address that you don't even know if somebody... Like, they clearly weren't talking to the mom and the sister.
Right, because they would have been like, oh, we're not getting the money, you know.
Because they had, what, one cell phone that that's how they could... But they were only supposed to call if it was, like, an emergency.
Yeah, it was weird.
Seemed a little odd to me. Plus, when these guys broke in, I felt like we have all these people at this party, right? Like, you had the numbers. Like, I feel like they could have taken these guys out because the one guy's really injured.
Yeah, they could have.
Adley's a little crazy. Did they have a gun? I think they had a gun.
They had a gun.
Yeah, that makes it a little sketch, I guess.
But they, like, I don't know. They're just, they were annoying to me because they were just so much screaming, which, you know, I hate.
There was
like,
a lot
they were just
of
like right out the gate, like crazy.
Well, I think we were supposed to understand that they were intoxicated, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that was the other thing. They were drunk, so they're not handling the situation perfectly. But it's hard to say how you would react in that situation, though, honestly. If somebody's burst in at gunpoint and was.
Yeah. But I meant the brothers were crazy.
Right, which, I mean, I think that would probably add another layer of fear because they're acting insane. You got one brother's bleeding out on the couch. But they did a good job of, like, kind of separating the groups because they pulled Beth and, I think, Daniel aside and were like, hey, this brother's dying. We're going to kill all of you guys. Do they tell them right out of the gate that their mother used to live there?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either if they did.
I think we know pretty early on, but I can't remember if they tell them or they're talking to each other.
Well, I know because he brings up the money later, right? Because they figure, or maybe the mom figures out that they've been stealing the money or that the money is missing, right? Because he's been sending all this money there. And
right. They came there to look for the money.
Yeah. And Beth and Daniel Tell both say that neither of them have seen any of this money. That
right.
It has not been coming there. So the other thing is, if you had money coming to your house, mother, like, wouldn't you have changed your address?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's a little bit of a plot hole there.
Yeah. What I like about this, though, is that they add the aspect of the tornado because that tells you why these people can't leave this house.
Right.
Although, if I were Sean Ashmore's character, the doctor, and his wife, they had a daughter that was at home with a babysitter during a tornado.
Well, I don't think when they initially went over there, they knew there was a tornado.
I know, but no, they were watching the news and stuff to see if it was going to get bad, and they were shutting roads down. So, I mean, like, they had to have been under some... It's 2010, so it's not like... they had cell phones, and they were actively watching this storm. Like, these, I would have been gone. One, I probably wouldn't have went anyway.
The babysitter can handle it.
No, not in a tornado situation. I don't know what these people's situation is. Do they have a basement? Is the babysitter at home in the bathtub with the baby because they don't have a base? Like, what's the scenario of...
They didn't give us that kind of detail.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So I would have been like, gone. So if I were George, the doctor, I wouldn't have even been there to begin with.
Maybe he hates his kid. I don't know.
Maybe he hates his kid.
It's not his kid. Maybe she had an affair and it's someone else's kid.
Oh, do you think? Maybe it's a stepchild.
No, I'm just making shit up.
Maybe it's a stepchild. He's like, nah, I don't really care about the stepchild. Yeah. Interesting. All right. A short time later, an RV arrives with Lydia and mother, with Lydia rushing to Johnny's side, showing she only has compassion for him. Mother becomes very angry at Ike for losing the emergency phone they used to contact one another. So that's why they don't have any contact, because he lost the phone.
Uh-huh.
Telling him she was unable to alert him of losing the house. Okay, there you go. plot hole filled. Realizing the gravity of the situation, Mother arranges help to sneak over the border into Canada. However, it will cost $10,000. She learns of her son sending money to the house, which she never received, before going into the basement. Mother is initially nice to the hostages, explaining to them that no one has to get hurt. She confronts Beth and Daniel about the money. However, both deny knowing about it. Mother believes Beth, however, she has... Adley and Ike torture Daniel for information. So Mother thinks that Beth does not know about the money. She thinks Daniel had taken the money.
isn't this where she or someone smashes his hand with a pool?
Yes.
Ball.
Just then, Melissa attempts to escape only to be shot by Adley. Mother strikes Adley for his behavior, then takes the cell phones, bank cards, and PIN numbers of the others and makes the Ike take Beth to a cash machine to collect the money. Meanwhile, Mother informs George to keep Johnny alive or they will all die, with Lydia told to help George and Johnny. So I do think that when Mother arrives, everybody in the movie is like, oh, thank goodness this lady's here. She's going to help us because these brothers are acting so crazy.
Little do they know.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Little do they know what this lady's about to put them through. But I don't know. I think I would kind of feel that way. I'm like, oh, thank God this woman's here. She's going to like get these guys under control. And
maybe not. I don't know.
Even at first, she's like super nice. I don't feel like she really gets pissed off until she realizes they stole money from her.
Right.
Which I think they would probably have to kill these people anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she's clearly like not mentally okay.
Right, but I don't think we really understand how mentally disturbed she is until later.
Right. I mean, clearly they don't have a good plan, though, because you're not going to get $10,000 from a handful of ATM cards.
I didn't think so either.
Maybe a couple thousand.
And I don't think that he had even sent $10,000 there, had he? It was something much less, because they were going to have to steal these people's money regardless.
Right.
So... yeah, but I do think that when the character of Mother, which I don't even know if we ever learn her name, she definitely adds like some calmingness. Like okay, this everything's gonna be fine. This woman's here now, and then she finds out the money that they had been sending to her is missing. I do find it ironic that she believes Beth instead of Daniel. I don't know why. It's like a motherly thing, I'm guessing. But you also see that this lady's like a multifaceted character, because the daughter is like dressed up in like nice clothes, and she doesn't want her talking to any of the guys in the house.
She's dressed like an Amish girl.
Yeah, right.
Very conservatively dressed.
Uh-huh. And she's like very like childish.
Yeah.
Like you can tell the mom doesn't like allow her to do anything.
Right.
But then there's like the lady... one of the ladies is dressed kind of skimpy, and Mother immediately does not like her.
Right.
Like, she starts, like, you can tell she's judging her and whatnot.
Who the fuck is this skank?
But then she's raised these three boys that are out robbing banks and killing people.
Yeah.
So it's like, this lady's clearly insane, which we find out later just how insane she is. But it's just funny to me that initially when she gets there, everybody's kind of like, okay, there's this, like, calming aspect to everything. Like, okay, it's going to be fine. This woman's here. She was really nice to them right out of the
gate. At first, yeah.
Do you think that she was always going to be mean, or it was the money thing? When she found out the money was missing, that was when...
I think they were going to have to kill him anyway, so no, I don't... I think she... They would have eventually done something.
Yeah. So, a police officer arrives after the three suspects of the bank robbery are identified as the old residents of the house, but Daniel makes him leave, assuring him everything is fine, thus alerting Mother and Daniel's lying skills. She further becomes suspicious of Lydia after Lydia discovers a Valentine's card from Daniel to Julie, as well as photographs and newspaper articles of a child killed in a car accident. So I didn't realize that's how she figured out Daniel was having the affair with Julie. Did you know that?
I think so.
I must have missed that part.
I think I did.
But I, from the get-go, thought something was weird between them. Didn't you? Because she was like the only character there without a boyfriend. And then she was like kind of being nice to Beth, but like her and Daniel had like a weird... like interaction earlier on.
Yeah, there was definitely, I mean, you could tell something was up.
And then did we know before this? We knew Beth had lost the baby before this, right? We just didn't know how.
Right.
So Ike and Beth dispose of Melissa's body behind a dumpster. Melissa got shot when she tried to escape, right?
Yeah, she got like shot in the arm or something.
So the mother makes Ike and Beth go out because they're going to go to this ATM and get money from their ATM cards and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so they mother makes them take Melissa's body because they believe she's dead, which we find out later she's actually not. Spoiler alert. And is this the best place to hide a body behind a freaking dumpster? Like, is that really?
Like, in the city? No, that doesn't really make any sense. But
like, to be honest, if there's going to be all, which I'm assuming they were just trying to buy time till they got out of town because their goal was to get out of this town and go to Canada anyway, which is a weird strategy.
You think in the dumpster would have made more sense than
kind of what I thought,
laying on the ground behind it.
Kind of what I thought, but no, they toss her behind the dumpster. Anyway, Ike and Beth dispose of Melissa's body behind a dumpster as they're on their way to the ATMs, where she is soon found to be alive by two sanitation workers who rush her to a hospital. So again, have they like emptied the dumpster, put her in the bottom of it, and then dump? Like put the trash back on her, likely wouldn't have been caught.
Right.
So luckily, they rush her to a hospital. While at the ATM, Beth and Ike encounter two party girls, your favorite.
Oh, Vicky
Rice and Jenna Luther. I don't know why we need their names.
They're kind of bitchy.
Who Ike quickly kills after they realize he has a gun. The pair travel to Trayshawn's laundromat to take money out of the safe, where Beth attempts to escape but fails, while later encountering the same police officer who Ike then kills. So Ike is killing all these people, dude.
Oh, because they get pulled over or something, don't they?
Because I think is she driving or she grabbed the wheel or something and brings attention to herself?
Somehow.
Like, these two party girls at the ATM were annoying, dude. Like, I was kind of glad that he
offered. Oh, they were bitches.
Yeah, because they were being rude. But they were being extremely suspicious at this ATM, right?
Yeah.
But, and then, yeah, so the cop pulls them over. So it's multiple times throughout this movie that you think these people are going to get saved or somebody's going to get away because Melissa runs away and almost gets away. The party girl's at the ATM. She gets away at the laundromat, Beth does. And then the cop pulls them over and Ike kills the cop.
And I think it was like a dry cleaner because there was that whole scene with them running through the, you know, they have those tracks with the clothes on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, she escapes the attempt and fails, and then he kills the cops. So back at the house, George realizes mother has been lying to Lydia about a critical condition, about a rare skin disease, and tries to convince her to help his friends. So George is Sean Ashmore's character, and he is, like, tending to this brother, and he, like, puts a piece of plastic or something. So this brother, Johnny, is shot in the stomach, mm-hmm. and he, like, takes a piece of plastic and puts it over it and then wraps it up with saran wrap.
I think to like stop the bleeding.
It was weird. I was like, there's no way. And he even tells them, like, I can't save this guy's life here. He's going to die if we don't get him to the hospital.
Yeah, because they didn't have any, you know, materials.
Right. They don't have shit. They don't have anything. Right. He literally wraps his wound up with saran wrap. But he learns that Lydia, I think he kind of sees it the whole time, that Lydia is being like mind controlled by this mother character.
Mm-hmm.
So he tries to talk the younger daughter, Lydia, into helping everybody. And I think she kind of likes him, though. Like, I think she's into him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She wants to bang him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Mother's been lying to Lydia about a rare skin condition. He tries to convince her to help his friends. Again, mother sends Lydia away. Johnny, now in critical condition, has to be, what is that?
Resuscitated.
Resuscitated by Lydia and George when he goes into cardiac arrest, telling his mother he doesn't want to die a virgin. Mother forces Trayshawn and Dave to fight over which one of their partners will be forced to have sex with Johnny. Dave and Annette are forced upstairs. However, Johnny's injuries proved to be too severe to rape Annette, and she is forced back into the basement by Adley. Dave attacks Adley, resulting in Adley accidentally shooting Dave in the face, killing him. Gina takes the opportunity to try to escape, however, is brought back to the house by Daniel in order to save Beth.
That whole scene was a bit of a clusterfuck.
Yeah, there was a lot. So they make the two guys fight over whose wife or significant other are going to have sex with Johnny before he dies because he doesn't want to die a virgin. Again, this is a weird character turn for the mom.
Yeah.
Because she seems to be like, feels bad for these women and feels bad for them. But then at the same time, she's going to make this one. But I did find it ironic it was going to be the one that was dressed kind of skimpy that she was going to make. I feel like she felt less bad for her than the other lady.
Yeah. Remember, she made her dance, too.
That was weird.
Very odd.
And then they're all going to watch this? Like, she mm-hmm. was going to watch it happen.
Yeah. She had to make sure it happened. She wanted to be there for her son's virginity loss.
It was weird,
dude. Very weird.
It was odd. You ever have friends that you go and you hang out at their house and their mom's kind of like a little clingy and you're like, yeah, I could totally see
when I was a kid, yeah,
wanting to be the one that took their own child's virginity.
But yeah, yeah.
Like this, something's weird here. We used to know this family and everybody thought that. They're like, man, we could see that mom being like that kind of mom.
Maybe it happened.
Maybe not like taking their child's virginity, but definitely watching it happen.
Like being part of it.
Yeah.
Like sitting in the corner watching.
Like weird.
Yeah.
I could see Claude doing that.
There's some crazy... crazy mothers.
Oh, I guess, but ugh, yeah.
Yeah, the whole scene was weird, and then, yeah. I feel like that we keep, like you said, we kept thinking like, oh, they're going to escape, or one of them, and then something happens, and they don't.
I definitely was thinking as I'm watching this, though, like, there are so many characters because they're going to end up killing all these characters. Like, they just had us, because like, it doesn't make any sense to have all these characters that aren't really even tied together, and you don't really like.
Right.
Most of the characters I didn't even like.
No. I don't think I really cared for any of them.
The only one I liked was the doctor, George, or yeah, Sean Ashmore's character.
He seemed like the most normal.
I liked the relationship between his character and the younger daughter, mother's younger daughter, Lydia, because you could see I think he actually felt bad for her.
Well, yeah.
Like, yes, he was trying to manipulate her into helping them, but I also feel like he just legitimately felt bad for her because the mom had been lying to him about, or lying to her about this skin condition and just the way that she was treating her, but.
I think Trishawn was your favorite.
I didn't mind Trishawn. In the basement, Mother informs Gina that disobedience has consequences before pouring boiling water over Trishawn. Mother then attempts to find her money by burning the photographs of the boy, revealed to be Daniel and Beth's deceased son. Mother then sets Julie's hair on fire, but extinguishes it when she realizes Daniel is telling the truth about the money. Mother leaves the basement before the group manage to arm themselves with knives. They lure Adley into the basement and stab him to death. This scene was very weird. Trishawn, now deaf and having difficulty seeing, takes Adley's gun and goes upstairs. This was also very dumb. Gina follows him, startling him and causing him to shoot her in the side. As Trishawn attempts to help his wife, Mother shoots him in the back, killing him. Mother discovers Adley's body and phones Ike before forcing Beth to listen to her shoot Daniel. Annette and Julie are then taken upstairs and tied up. This scene, dude, it was like cluster F after cluster F scene, because you got that weird like rape scene, which there's no rape, but that's the intent of
that. That was the intention.
And then you get this next scene where Adley kills one of the friends. Then they like slowly kill Adley on the steps, like taking turns stabbing him. Like, what was that about?
I don't know. It was weird.
Like, why did one person just kill him?
Yeah.
Like, they were like, no, we're all going to stab this.
They were all pissed. They had to get their stab in.
Yeah, but it was weird.
It was a weird scene.
Like,
and then why would the deaf can't see guy take the gun and go first?
Like, I'm sure they were freaking out. Like, I get it. But at the same time, and then like, you know, your husband can't hear and can barely see. Like, why would you go up and sneak up on him? So it was like, and this was also really late in the movie, so I'm like, okay, at the time stamp of this point, I was like, they're just trying, we're getting a lot of kills to get this movie over with, right?
They're just trying to get rid of a lot of people all of a sudden.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it was. And then so Beth is on the phone and she gets to hear Mother shooting her husband Daniel. I did like that Mother realizes that Beth is the one lying about the money at this point, because Daniel is watching his the woman he's having an affair with, her freaking head is on fire.
Yeah,
and he's like, I don't know anything about this money, and that's what it took to get the mother character to believe that, okay, he really didn't know anything about the money. At this point, did you know, or did you, okay, so at this point, did you think A, they knew nothing about the money, B, Daniel knew about the money, but not Beth. C, Beth knew about the money, but not Daniel. Or the D, they both knew about the money.
I originally thought Daniel knew about it.
Okay. And so you didn't trust him either.
No. But after this part, I was like, maybe there isn't any money. Like, I wasn't sure.
I was thinking, what I was waiting on was Ike, one of the brothers, to admit they actually, like, Ike gave the money to Adley and Adley was supposed to send the money home, or Adley gave the money to Ike or to Johnny and they were supposed to be sending it, but they had it or were spending it.
Because they did make them kind of dumb, so I could see that happening.
That's kind of the turn I was waiting for, because I couldn't remember exactly what was going on. Because, again, I had seen this. I'm 99% sure Abby and I had watched when it first came out.
Yeah.
But That's what I thought that was going to be the twist, or that the sister had it.
Oh, that would have been an interesting twist.
Like, that's what I was waiting on. I was like, one of these people have this money, and or they never sent it to begin with.
Or mother's had it the whole time, and she pulls it out of her badge.
That would be weird. Definitely a weird turn of event. What if it was a cashier's check?
Like a money order.
Look at this. Like in Texas Chainsaw 2003, she pulls the gun out of her in the beginning. You know what I mean? She's like, look at this.
She pulls out this wet cashier's check.
Ew, what if it was like crusty, like it had been wet before and dried? Yuck, that's nasty.
Hair all over it.
yuck, dude. Okay.
Cashier's check.
So at the hospital, Melissa regains consciousness. Again, Melissa is the dead body that they dumped behind the dumpster that wasn't actually dead, and the trash truck people found her. Right. So at the hospital, Melissa regains consciousness and alerts authorities to the house. George confronts mother, telling her that none of her kids look like one another and look nothing like her.
And now she's pissed.
Mother's not happy. Enraged, in fact. Threatens to kill him. But Lydia convinces her that they still need George to help Johnny, Ike, and Beth, then bursts through the front door with the money. Ike heading downstairs to mourn his loss. Mother instructs. Did I skip a spot? I had to. Mother, enraged, threatens to kill him, but Lydia convinces her that they still need George to help Johnny.
Period. Yeah, that usually did that as like a run on.
Ike and Beth then burst through the front door with the money. Ike heading downstairs to mourn his loss. Mother instructs Ike, Lydia, and George to take Johnny to the RV while she has a chat with the ladies. So the money they burst in with is the money they got from the laundromat, not the money.
Right.
Because they still don't know where the money is.
Right, we haven't got there yet.
Okay. Inside the RV, Johnny, hoping to please his mother and older brother, shoots George in spite of Lydia's pleas to let him live. Mother reveals to Julie and Annette that Beth was the one who hid the money and is the one responsible for all the deaths. Beth reveals that she was hiding the money for the baby she is expecting, as we find out she's pregnant. She also reveals she knew Daniel was cheating on her with Julie and wanted to leave him. Mother forces Beth to take a pregnancy test to prove it. This was also weird.
It's a very awkward scene.
Before Beth knocks Mother unconscious, Beth unties Julie, who is shot in the head by Ike while trying to escape the house, and Annette, who hides with Beth in the garage. They are overpowered by Ike, who then dies after a cabinet falls on him.
It was actually a tube television.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, because I have that in my notes.
Annette escapes to the neighbors while Beth fights with Mother in the house. Beth is knocked unconscious and Mother sets the house on fire. However, Beth wakes up and overpowers Mother, hitting her with a wooden chopping board before escaping the house along with Gina, who has survived her injury. So Gina is Trayshawn's wife, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of fake deaths in this movie.
Yeah.
You got Melissa, who gets shot and dumped behind the dumpster, pun intended, is not dead. Beth gets in, I think she gets in like a car accident at some point, doesn't she?
I think so. I can't remember.
She's not dead. You got Gina, who her husband shoots and isn't dead. Mother, who gets cracked a couple times. She isn't really dead, as you see later. But I actually didn't mind this last scene. It was a little chaotic, but I didn't mind it.
Oh, when the house was set on fire and all that?
And all the shit was going on.
It was not a bad scene.
I was expecting Lydia to come in and either have a turn of character and hurt Mother, because she's pissed that they killed George, because I think she thought her and George were going to ride off in the sunset together.
Yeah, I think so too. Didn't happen.
No, it sure didn't, poor George. Did you like that Julie died?
I mean, it was fine.
Were you upset with Julie? Because Julie's the affair. She has the affair with Beth's husband, Daniel.
I mean, I wasn't like really upset about it.
How did Daniel die? Do you remember?
Oh.
Does Mother shoot him and kill him?
I think so. Yes, remember she's on the phone.
I couldn't remember if that's how he died, though. That's how he died.
Yeah.
Okay. So, long ass story here, guys. Mother, Ike and Beth get back with the money from the ATM. George and Adley and Lydia take Johnny, the brother that got shot, to the RV. Adley kills George, which Lydia thinks is going to be her forever husband. He's a doctor. He's dead now. Inside, Mother pinned the girls against each other, but we find out that Beth already knew that Julie and Daniel were having an affair. She was actually the one, Beth, stealing the money that the boys were sending back to Mother, and she was hiding it in a picture in the bathroom, wasn't she? Wasn't it behind a picture in the bathroom in an envelope?
Yep. It was like in the picture frame.
Interesting place to hide. a wad of cash.
Well, who would look there?
Mother. Didn't she figure it out? Didn't she, or did she show her where
it was? I think it fell off the wall or something. I can't remember.
That's right. Yeah. It did. You're right. It's a good thing you were paying attention during that.
I'm surprised I remember that.
Yeah. But Joe, so who's alive at this point? Beth, Annette, and Gina. That's it.
All the dudes are dead.
Yeah, they killed all the men. That's kind of ironic, right? Since the guys didn't know anything about it. Yeah, Daniel was a scumbag. He was having an affair with.
Right, he was a slut.
But, interesting. Yeah, so Beth hits Mother over the head with a chopping board and escapes the house along with Gina, who has survived her injuries. So then I think we get a cut scene. So months later, a very pregnant Beth goes into labor and is taken to the hospital by Annette. Gina and Melissa. Oh, Annette, Gina, and Melissa. Sorry, all these commas. That night, Beth wakes up to the emergency alarms going off in the maternity ward. She gets up and goes to check on her baby, but the bassinet is empty. The film ends with Lydia, Johnny, and Mother leaving the country in the RV with Beth's baby. So this had to be, what, like eight months later?
Yeah.
What have these people been doing for 8 months? They've just been hiding out, waiting?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
So that tells us that the beginning of the movie where you saw the two people stealing babies from the maternity ward, that was Mother when she was little, and that was one of the boys, I'm assuming?
Yeah, that's what I guess
so
it was.
So all these babies were stolen.
Were stolen.
Which is why none of them look alike.
Yeah, because in the beginning, she's wearing like that old-ass nurse's outfit, so I'm guessing that was one of the boys.
Probably
she's
so.
She's in like a 70s nurse's outfit.
Yeah. And then they stabbed that man who we had to know who the character's name was. Right. But so what did you think of the ending? Did you like the ending? Think it was...
It was a nice little twist.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Because again, I didn't really like any of the characters, so I didn't really care that Beth's baby got stolen by Mother.
So that was a nice twist to it.
I do find it funny that Johnny, who was the... got shot in the bank robbery, is the guy that is dying on the couch. They were going to have him rape the woman but then his injuries are so terrible. They have a doctor there saying, hey, this guy's not going to survive, which maybe he was embellishing a little bit because he wanted them to try to take it to the hospital so he could, you know, be saved. But now he's fine. You think he really would have survived these injuries in this RV with Mother and just the sister? I don't think so either.
So that part's a little far-fetched.
But Adley and Ike, dead. So, a lot of deaths.
A lot of forgettable characters.
Well, I think they threw them in for that reason, right? Because the kills were kind of gory and a little brutal at times.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, did you have any fun facts?
There actually are a handful.
What do you got for us?
I need to be sung in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's jump over to fun facts with Seth. I haven't done one of these in a while. I'm sorry.
During the filming of a scene that involved guns, the actors were pulled over and held at gunpoint by police who mistook them for people who had actually robbed a bank not far from where they were filming.
Is this the brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
After realizing it was a big misunderstanding, the police and the film team all had a good laugh about it.
How would they not notify the police, like, hey, we're shooting a movie in this area?
Who knows? Somebody didn't talk to somebody.
I guess. Wow.
When Ike takes Beth to the ATM, the name Wichita Bank is visible. The film was inspired by a real crime that happened in Wichita, Kansas. Two brothers broke into a home only to be surprised by the owner, his girlfriend, and their friends. The brothers robbed, raped, and tortured the victims before murdering all except one.
Oh, this really happened?
I guess it was based on a... That's what this says.
Really?
Yeah.
Wichita, Kansas, huh? Mm-hmm.
Doesn't list a year or anything.
Okay, keep going. I'll see
what Jamie King fractured her tailbone on the third day on the set.
Jamie King, which one is that?
I don't know. You have to pull up the...
I got it right here. We'll look right here. Jamie King. Oh, Beth.
Beth, yeah.
That's no good.
Brian Evigen and Matt O'Leary were in another remake together, Sorority Row 2009.
Have you ever seen that?
Uh-uh.
No. I watched it a long time ago.
Jamie King has starred in the remakes of My Bloody Valentine and Silent Night. Candace McClure also appeared in the TV remake of Carrie and Children of the Corn.
Ooh.
Lyric Brent, Tony Napo, J. Adam LaRose, Darren Lynn Boosman all worked on the Saw franchise.
They did, yes.
Lyric Bent played SWAT Lieutenant Rigg in Saw 3 and 4. Tony Napo played Gus in Saw 2, 4, 5, and J. Adam LaRose played Troy in Saw 3. And Darren Lynn Boosman directed Saw 2, 3, and 4.
That is the guy from Saw. That's funny. I didn't realize he was in this.
Napo. I don't know how you say it.
Bro, his name is clearly Tony Napa.
As of 2023, this is Rebecca De Mornay's final starring film role. Which one was she?
She was Mother.
Oh, Mother. Huh. Three of the actors in this gruesome film actually previously starred in Disney movies when they were younger.
Ooh, let me see if I can guess.
Patrick John Pfluger.
Okay, don't let me guess, and that's fine. Jesus.
I'm listing the names. Can you guess the movies?
Oh, no fucking not. I'm never going to be able to guess the movies.
The Princess Diaries, 2001. Sean Ashmore was in Cadet Kelly.
I don't know that
2002.
Movie.
2002. Had the Even Stevens sister in it.
Don't know.
I think. Or maybe that was the other girl.
I would have guessed Sean Ashmore was a Disney guy.
Yeah, he looks like one. And Matt O'Leary in Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire, 2000.
That was Johnny.
I do remember that movie.
Who was Julie? Julie's kind of cute. Lisa Marcos? I don't remember her either. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that concludes fun facts.
That concludes fun facts with so.
That's pretty much all there was for that movie.
That was it, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't bad. At least there were some. We've done movies where they have had none.
Yeah, or like one where it's just like, this person also directed.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite scene or scenes?
I suppose the ending was probably the best.
Yeah, that like final.
The final scene, yeah.
Yeah, same. I think that when the house is on fire, I also liked that because, again, I could not remember who. I knew somebody. There was something with the money, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't remember if they knew about it, if the mom knew about it, if Beth knew about it, Daniel knew about it, they both knew about it, if the kids were. I thought that was a good aspect of the movie because this could have just been these people come back because their brother gets shot, and then they're torturing these people. But like you add in the fact
really
they have
no money. Yeah.
The tornado that makes them stuck there. You have the fact that they were supposedly sending this money home, but did they really? You got the affair going. There's like a lot of things going on in this movie.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of stories weaving together.
Yeah. So I did my favorite. I guess I'm jumping ahead, but my favorite scenes were definitely the ending, how it ended, and I also like the end of it. That was not a happy ending. My favorite part of the movie is probably the storyline. I think it did have a really good storyline.
It did. Just the acting was, not acting itself, but I feel like the characters were not cast well.
I think it was the casting. The casting is a real issue.
Yeah.
Because they're too old. I think they should have been younger.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just weird. I don't know.
I wonder how that happened.
Mm-hmm. They probably just casted who they could get.
Do you think so?
Maybe.
I mean, the movie didn't do well. I mean, it was
it didn't even make $1 million.
No, it was $11 million budget, and they made $862. They'd lost a lot of money.
Oh, that's really bad.
It's not a bad movie. Like, I don't know.
I wonder why it did so bad.
I'm not sure. Crazy. Yeah, so, again, would you watch it again?
Probably not.
I don't think I would either. I'd like to watch the 1980s version, though.
Yeah, I would like to see that now to see how terrible it is.
Yeah.
Like that train movie we watched.
What's that?
The one with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, why do I all I want to think is New Year's Evil, but that's not it. It's
not Devil Train. It's some, I can't remember the name of it.
Oh my gosh. What is the name of that movie?
It's Terror Train.
Terror Train. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, right?
And it was something train.
That's gotta be it.
God, there's two of them.
They remade it.
That was such a bad movie.
I wonder if the new one's any good.
I think because the villain was so goofy looking.
Yeah, it was bad. It was definitely bad. Terror Train. Let's see. I think there's a remake. I'm almost positive there's a remake. That's Terror Train.
2022. It's got 2 stars.
Oh, gosh.
At least the villain looks a little scarier.
Dude, it's a Tubi original.
Oh, God. That dude looks familiar. Have I seen him in? I don't know.
I don't know. Philippe Gagnon. Is this a... dude, this might be worth watching. Why not?
I mean, it can't be worse than the old one.
We should do them both and compare them. I'm going to hear. We got the cello, Terror Train.
Means we have to watch the old one again.
I mean, I could probably just skim through the old one because I don't really want to watch
it. We were drinking and couldn't even get through it.
Well, I think we had already watched Jason X, right?
Yeah.
Or no, that wasn't that, was it?
I feel like Jess wasn't there when we watched it.
No, you and I recorded something, and then we watched Terror Train, but I don't remember what it was.
I don't either.
It's irrelevant. All right, let's jump over to Stabby's ratings. We rate every movie on a 0 to 5 Stabby's scale. Some movies get zeros because they are not great. Other movies get fives, like It Chapter One, because it is great. Jess isn't here. Does Jess usually start this? Mm-hmm. Or do you? I think you do.
Yeah.
What is going on with my internet today? I'm sorry, folks. This is like my first time ever navigating a podcast. Seth, Zac Efron's suggestion, Mother's Day from 2010. What do you give this movie?
Like I said, I didn't really care for the characters, cast of characters. I just felt weird. It didn't feel natural at all. It felt very strange.
Yeah.
That aside, the storyline was good. There were several different things weaving together, which I thought was clever. It could have just been a home invasion, plain old movie, you know, that's with true. No other kind of background. Mm-hmm. So I did like that, and I liked the twist at the end. I mean, I did kind of leave it open for another one, but I guess they never did make one. I would say, like, I would have given it a 3, but since it's one I won't watch again, I guess a 2.5.
2.5, yeah. 50%?
Yeah, I mean, I liked terrible. It, I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think the casting was weird. But I liked more of it than I disliked. I honestly was dreading watching this. I thought it was going to be terrible. And then I ended up liking it. I didn't realize like Frank Grillo and some of these other characters were in it that I or actors were in it that I'd known.
Yeah.
So, again, I think the casting was... I think if they casted it a little better, it probably would have been more enjoyable. But I think it had a good plot. The kills were really good. It had a lot of good storylines interwoven. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't... It made sense as to why the movie was taking place. You know what I mean? It wasn't right. just, hey, these guys showed up and then they're torturing people. And then it also had me guessing throughout the movie as to who had the money. Was there really any money? And then I liked the ending of it, that it was not a happy ending. And then you kind of see that Mother gets away with it again. Because, again, yeah. I wasn't really rooting for any of the characters. I didn't really like any of them. So no. I'm going to go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say again, like, it wasn't that the acting was bad.
Yeah.
And I think the one who played Mother was really good. It just... Mm-hmm. A mismatch.
It was weird. You're right. The acting wasn't bad at all. It was just the fact that, like, you had these people. It's like back...
I didn't believe that they were friends, I guess.
You didn't believe they were friends, and you also... It was like whenever you had, like, 30-year-olds playing high school kids, like, mm-hmm. in Dawson's Creek and stuff, it's yeah. like, are these kids really this old? So, I don't know. It was weird. Except this was the opposite of it, I guess, because yeah. these guys were so old. I think I'm going to go with a 3.
Okay. That's what I would have picked if it was one I'd watch again.
I think I'm going to go 3. None of our friends on Letterboxd have watched this, so I can't tell you theirs. Let's jump over to some of those other folks who like to rate and review horror movies. Jess isn't here to read the Rotten Tomatoes Critics Consensus, so I will read it. And it just so happens that I don't think there is one. Wow, can't believe it. You can watch Mother's Day on Amazon Prime and Apple, though. So let's see. We'll just read this first one. A home invasion film like Mother's Day is elongated coitus interruptus. I don't know what that means. Stuff with secrets and characters who can't wait to betray one another. The film offers no one to root for except Mother, whose perverted family values at least remain consistent. That's actually a very good point.
Yeah, you and Jeanette agree.
Yeah, that is. I couldn't have said that better myself, Jeanette. I completely agree. There's not a likable character. Mother's really not likable. I guess right out of the gate, she is kind of likable. Yeah. You know what, though? I actually felt like I was kind of rooting for her a little bit because I felt like they stole her money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt bad she got kicked out of her house. But then you kind of find out she's crazy and not a great person. So.
I like the review below that one.
Oh, what is it? Let's see.
Notable for a chilling lead performance from Rebecca De Monre, but not much else.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're not wrong. I can't. Oh, they rated it a 2 out of 4. So
she must be from something because even the one below that talks about her. So I wonder,
she wasn't terrible.
I wonder what else she was in or what she's known for.
You know what's funny though is like they made the reveal of Mother like really like because she shows up you don't see her face. I was like expecting her to be like somebody more popular than who it was, but maybe at the time this lady was popular, so that's just maybe why I didn't.
We'll have to look her up and see what she was in.
But Rotten Tomatoes critics gave it a 42% on 45 reviews. Their average rating is a 4.8 or a 48%. The audience on 10,000 ratings gave it a 52% or a 3.3 out of 5, which is 66%. So the Rotten Tomatoes audience liked it more than the critics. A 66%, that's not It's not terrible. IMDb users gave it a 6.2 out of 10, which is 62%, so right on par with the Rotten Tomatoes audience. And then Letterboxd users gave it a 2.9, so almost a 50%.
So we're right in the ballpark. So,
yeah, we're right there. What'd you give it? A three?
2.5.
Oh, 2.5. I was way off. I gave it a 3 plus 2.5 divided by 2. Justin, give me her rating. So we gave it a 2.75 out of 5. So
I think that's fair.
About 55%. We're right in line with all these people.
Now look up this chick. I want to see what.
Who?
Rebecca or whatever this lady's name
mother?
Is.
Mother? We'll call her mother first off. Get it mother. Correct.
I'm curious what else she's from.
She looks like an old version of Beth from
from Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I know I've seen her in shit.
All right, let's see. The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Okay.
That's what it is. I bet you it's that.
So she did some 80s, 90s stuff.
Let's see what she's done. So she's an Angel Baby from 2023. She was in some episodes of Lucifer. She-Ball. I thought you said she hadn't done a movie since 2010. You lied.
It said major films. So okay. She's not a main character.
A lot of this is TV. She was in
American Reunion.
Jessica Jones. Oh, yeah. She's Rachel Finch's mom at the end. She's uncredited, though. I forgot she shows up because Stifler bangs Finch's mom at the end, right?
Yeah.
Mother's Day 2010, Flipped, American Venues.
So she's a lot of TV stuff.
Lords of Dogtown. Wedding Crashers 2005. She's Mrs. Kroger. I don't know who that is, but The Practice. Yeah, a lot of Identity.
She was in that?
I guess. She was Caroline Suzanne. We did that movie, didn't we?
Yes. A long time ago.
She only did 5 episodes of ER. The Shining, the TV miniseries.
From 97.
She plays Winifred Torrance.
Hmm.
Hang on. She's not... She's the wife?
On the TV series, I guess, from the 90s.
No.
Did you watch this?
I remember seeing pictures of it. Or is she really the wife? So in the Shining remake for TV, which why aren't there any pictures of this? There she is.
There was. Yeah, there she is.
So this was supposed to be Stephen King's adaptation of the movie that was supposed to be so much better than the movie that everybody loves. But yeah, holy cow, she is.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Have you seen this?
No. Now I kind of want to watch it.
Do you like the first Shining, like the actual Shining with Jack?
Or I do.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't. I bet you this is terrible. I would be into watching it, though, if you ever wanted to. It's 3 episodes, though. 3 TV episodes. I don't know how long that would be.
That was a mini series. It's probably like how It was. And
interesting. No, I'd be into doing that if you wanted. Look at Daniel Torrance. He's a full-grown man. Anyway.
Interesting. Anyway. Yeah,
fun stuff. That's it. That concludes Mother's Day. We did it. Sorry, Zach Eff. It took us so long to do it. We're a little bit rusty. We haven't done a movie review since the cabin trip back in November. So.
Yeah, we'll do the 80s one. To make up for it.
I think we should do the 80s one and then we'll compare and contrast. All right, I didn't hate it, dude. 3 out of 5, that's not terrible for this movie.
Mm-mm.
You gave it a 2.5, though. I mean, you were kind of hard on it.
I was.
It's all right. It's what you get paid to do. That's why you make the big bucks around here, dude.
Exactly.
That's why you make the big bucks. Don't we look pretty?
Yeah.
Look at us in that picture there. We are beautiful people, I'll tell you what. We look hot. All right, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up there, Seth?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope.
In that case, thank you to all the patrons that give us your hard-earned money to listen to us talk about movies like Mother's Day. It's been a blast. Thank you to Russ H., Aaron P., Zach F., Brian Hathaway from the Don't Go Out There Podcast, Kimberly D., Felicia Connor from Two Chicks and Horror Flick, Caitlin Ashley V., Mark and Brooke from a podcast on Elm Street and a podcast on Fury Road, and my lovely mother, Nana Stevie Nicks. Our next episode, even though we told you guys this last time, is going to be Breakdown, the Kurt Russell
Flick,
which we've both watched, but we decided to do this instead since Jess wasn't here.
Yeah, since she's got some viral plague.
We wish her a speedy recovery. Yes. We hope that those weird butthole farts get better.
Or vaginal farts get better.
And in that case, we're out of here. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Little bitch.
Whore.